My name is Garland Robinson. Friend, it's nothing new to you to know we're living in an age of change. There have been more changes that have taken place in the last 50 years in our lifetime than perhaps any other time in history. Many of you have been witness to these changes. Many of you can remember the days of horse and buggy, and now we even have men going into outer space. What an advance, from horseback to going to the moon. You know, so many of these things have provided welcome changes. Oh, we have so many human comforts today. Air conditioning in our homes and in our automobiles. We're able to travel much more quickly and efficient than we once did. Medical advances have really been marvelous, and we have so many cures now for diseases and problems. So many of these changes are obviously good. But on the other hand, not all changes are good. There are things that should not be changed. There are things that must not change. And here what we're talking about is simply in the spiritual realm. Anything that changes from the right to the wrong is certainly a wrong or invalid change. Anything that changes from the truth to error is not good. We must hang on to what is good. You know, we can't change things just for the sake of changing them. If it's something that would benefit the world and it's not immoral or illegal, it's something that is not going to violate God's word, then fine. We can change it and people can use that to the betterment of mankind. But when we're talking about heaven and hell, when we're talking about righteousness and evil, then certainly that cannot be changed. We must cling to what God wants us to do. You know, there's a very sad and vast, widespread movement all across our land and across the world where people are desiring to change the church. They're wanting to change everything we know about the church. Many claim they're tired of the old ways. They don't want what we've always had. They want to look at now at the Bible in a new or a different way. Promoters of these changes insist that the church is going to change if it's going to remain relevant to society and appealing to the public. But there's a problem right there. We're not trying to remain relevant to society. What if society don't want what God desires? Our job is to remain relevant to what God wants, not society. Our job is to appeal unto God, make sure that He is pleased with what we want. So it matters not about what society wants. We must do what God wants. Change agents are the words that have been applied to those who have set out as their course to change the church. And those are the words they have chosen themselves. And when we call their hand on the fact that they're desiring to change the church, they'll often look back, step back, and say, "Oh, well, you've just taken us out of context. You just misunderstand. You don't know really what I mean." And they'll often try to dodge it and get around it by saying, "Well, what we're talking about is just little things." Well, that's not what they're talking about. They often try to relate their changes in the order of the services, such as whether we partake the Lord's Supper before the preaching or afterwards, whether we take up a collection before the Lord's Supper or afterwards. But you know, one of the most frightening things about this movement is that many of these people actually think they are doing what is right. We're reminded of Isaiah 5 in verse 20 that says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In Judges 21 in verse 25, we read, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Well, that's the problem here. People are doing what is right in their own eyes instead of looking to see what God really wants. Let's proceed then by looking at some of the things they're wanting to change. Number one, they're looking to change the way we understand the Bible. They have devised a new buzzword for this. It's called the new hermeneutic. Well, the word hermeneutic, what is that? Well, all that means is it's a word that describes the study of the process of how we interpret and understand the Bible. That is, when we open the Bible and we read what is there, we must have some kind of standard or criteria that we look at the Bible. Well, they claim we've got a new hermeneutic. Well, a new hermeneutic certainly then implies there's an old hermeneutic. That is, the way we've always understood the Bible. How is that? There are three basic means by which we look at the things in the Scriptures. One, the Bible authorizes through a direct statement. For example, Mark 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That is, God tells us, gives us a direct statement. He that believes and is baptized. There's no misunderstanding that. Another way in which the Bible authorizes is through a proved example. We find an example given in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Here we learn of the church at Troas. They met upon the first day of the week to break bread. That is the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. They did that. It met with God's approval. We learn then if that's what they did, then if we do the same thing, we likewise can be approved of God. Then there's also the third way the Bible authorizes is by implication. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said, "Whosoever puts away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away, doth commit adultery." Here the Lord implies that those who do put away their spouse because of their spouse's fornication and marry again do not commit adultery. Now, the Bible does not say that in exact words, in a very explicit statement, but it implies that if you do, then you are not living in adultery. Well, in everyday terms, what it means is this idea of the new hermeneutic, what that basically means is, in a way that I can understand it, is simply this. They're saying the Bible really does not mean what it says. That's really the bottom line. The Bible does not mean what it says. They say we've got to take a fresh look at Scripture. We've got to allow for a broader approach of seeing things and viewing things. Well, what it amounts to then is this new philosophy desires that we relegate the Bible to everyone's own thinking, everyone's own understanding, everyone's own interpretation. What they mean is, what the Bible means to you may not be what it means to someone else. And so, who is to say what is right and what is wrong? Each one is free to interpret the Bible according to their own culture, according to their own human experience. So according to this new doctrine, there is no set standard of authority. Everyone becomes a law unto themselves. Well, we need to understand there is a standard. There is a pattern. It is God's standard, not mine, not yours. It's not society. It's not culture. It's God's standard. It is God's pattern, and that is what we must adhere to. That is what we must look to. That's what we must understand. We ourselves understand that. We send our children to school, and in the first grade, they begin to learn math. They learn that 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Well, if we apply this new hermeneutic to math, that is, 1 plus 1 may be what the teacher believes, but the student may not see it that way. They might think it's something else because that doesn't appeal to them. Well, you know, that's ludicrous, isn't it? We recognize and understand math is a standard. It is an absolute. There's no means, there's no way that I can see it one way and you see it another. And the same thing we find is true in so many realms or areas of life. There is an absolute standard. And when we come to religion, that's the same way. There's an absolute standard. It's not subject to interpretation. It's not subject to the whims of man and him changing things and moving it around, or what it means to one may not mean that to another. Well, this philosophy then is far-reaching, encompasses every fabric of our society. It's not limited simply to church and to religious things, but it's rooted itself in the political, the social, the educational realms all around us. It's become the buzzword now for several years, a new hermeneutic, a new approach to the Bible. And again, what we said, all that means is, I don't believe the Bible. I want to go my own way. Well, some have styled this idea as postmodernism. Modernism is that old philosophy which denies, really, that anything is miraculous. It denies the miracles of Jesus. It denies the apostles ever performed miracles. It denies the supernatural. Postmodernism is the liberal philosophy that says that the only thing that you know for sure is that no one else knows anything for sure. Can you imagine that? The only thing we know for sure is that we can't know anything for sure. Well, if you can't know anything for sure, how do you know that you can't know anything for sure? Does that make any sense to you? That's about as logical as saying, well, a dog walks on its ears. A dog doesn't use its ears to walk. It uses its ears to hear. And yet people try to make us believe these things. If no one can know anything for sure, then how do they know that? Are they sure about that? How can they be sure if nobody knows anything for sure? The only thing that one cannot do, according to this new teaching, is to say that somebody's wrong, or to say that anything is wrong. It's a doctrine that says anything goes. It's all right to have convictions, they say, but don't demand that others live by those same convictions. Well, there is a standard, friend. That standard is the Bible. God is our Creator. He is the one that made us and not we ourselves. There is an absolute standard, and that is what we must adhere to, we must live by, if we're going to be pleasing to God and go to heaven. What this new philosophy says is that we've got to get you away from the Bible. We hate the Bible. We hate it being a standard. We don't want you to live by that. But they can't get everybody away from the Bible. So if they can't get you away from the Bible, then they back up and have a second approach. That approach is, well, okay, you can keep your Bible, but we're going to change the way you view that Bible. We're going to fix it so the Bible is not really an absolute standard, that you've got to view it through different means or different way, because they hate God, they hate the Bible, they hate righteousness, and they're not interested in doing Bible things and Bible ways and calling Bible things by Bible names. But if we love God, we must love His Word, we must love His church, we are not subject to change. The Bible is God's standard. It is absolute, and it is His Word, and by it we will one day be judged. Friends, that's not just about it. That is it, because we've got to honor God and do His will. Friend, won't you obey the gospel? If we can assist you in doing so, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we'll be glad to assist you, teach you further these things from the Word of God. My name is Garland Robinson.